Welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. Two women having fun. Two women who can get riled up about ageism, whether corporate, social, or, get ready, internalized ageism. Two women who enjoy and appreciate the art of conversation. Two women who know that life can be truly great for women as we age. That could sum up my conversation with Andy Lyons today, but it's all that and so much more. Listen now. Don't be caged by your age. Pastures are for horses, not humans. With quotes like that, how could I not expect to enjoy chatting with my guest today? Our underlying theme is going to be ageism. It surrounds us. And many of us are also guilty of doing it to ourselves and our friends. I've admitted on occasion that I was broadsided by my 60th birthday. Now, that reaction was a complete surprise because I was someone who never really thought about birthdays. But 60 really was a sucker punch. I obviously got through it, but it was during that getting through it that I realized for the first time I had fewer years ahead of me than I had behind me. Even at 50, I figured I still had half my life to get it together. Before I introduce Andy, I want to assure you that my last 10 years have been amongst the best of my life for so many reasons. Andy Lyons, welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast.
Oh my gosh, Agnes, I am so happy and delighted to be here. And hello, listeners. Are you ready to dissolve some of those internalized ageist beliefs you have? Let's do it.
Yeah, we're going to just blow this wide open. Okay, but I've got to admit, your Podmatch profile almost made me tired just reading it. You say you've been unemployable since 1992. Tell our listeners why and what you've been doing since then.
Oh my gosh, I'm really the type of person who'll get fired in a heartbeat. I earned my MBA in 89 and I went into banking not because it was a fit, but because I wanted to do financial analysis on all types of industries. And I say it wasn't a fit, meaning it was clear right away, I'm entrepreneurial, I'm going to be going with more of a non-traditional work environment, but I knew I wanted to add credibility to my resume. So I had to do some fancy footwork and I lasted 3 years and it didn't end well, let's just put it that way. And so I quickly realized I didn't belong in that type of environment and that I was going with the beat of my own drum. And so from there, I had several assignments. I helped a former client raise a bunch of capital for his business. I did some consulting. And then in 98, after I popped out a couple of kids, when we had a three-year-old and a six-month-old, my husband and I launched a .com. And through that, we raised over $8 million in VC funds. We moved to Southern California because we were part of the entertainment industry with our .com. We were really close to monetization. So we launched in 98 and we were close. We had about 50 employees when the whole industry, we got caught up in the tsunami, Agnes, of that whole .com blowing up, including we had a VC firm committed to coming in for $5 million. And they blew up too. It was just everything blew up at that time and we got caught up. And so I thought I was going to go back to work, but then 9/11 happened and I ended up having a craving for a wheat-free granola and I couldn't find it in the store. So I made the recipe myself. And the next thing I knew, I was launching a food business. And as God is my witness, I will never have a company that has a shelf life product again. It was really hard. But you know what? I scaled that business nationally in less than 2 years because I knew enough that I did not want to be on store shelves, right? And so I went through food service. I got certified through WeBank and went into Compass, Aramark, Sodexo, and was carried at all the top corporate campuses, college campuses, hospitals, got to keep my margin. It was wonderful. And then that blew up. And this is what's so interesting about entrepreneurship. You don't ever really hear about how businesses can fail when you have done everything right. And this is when Mother Nature can come in, right? Or policies change and your business is no longer legal, things like that. And in my case, it was Mother Nature. Two of my products were hit really hard, and they became very expensive to have. And then my co-packing plant, my co-manufacturer's facility got hit by lightning and burned to the ground. And even then, I know, and
I'm
even
sorry, I
then,
shouldn't laugh.
I can laugh now too. And this was 5 years in, and I was just about to scale it to the what I would call the Kellogg's level. And then my husband came home, and we had a 9 and a 7 year old, and he came home at 11 a.m. And I said, "Oh my God, this is not good." He goes, "No, my department just got dissolved, and I'm out of work." And I thought, okay, that's too much pressure for me to take on. I'm going to have to call it a day. And the business was successful until that point. So I didn't have some sexy exit, but I had repeated business and a growing business for many, many years. But it had a very sad ending, and I had to close it down. And my angel investor to this day told me, and he was in for six figures, told me, even knowing this was going to be the outcome, I still would have invested at the beginning because we had a great run and we almost made it. And so that's why I always encourage folks, if you're going to launch a business, just do it. You always win when you launch a business, no matter what happens, because you're going to find out things about yourself that you would never find out anywhere else. And if it doesn't work out, A, you're going to start another business if that's who you are, or B, you're going to go back and get hired at a higher level because you're going to have skill sets that are much more attractive to a company, and you're going to get paid more. You're going to have a better title. So you always win. From there, I launched a few other businesses, online businesses. One was very exciting because it was called Bring Back Desire. It was for long-term couples, helping them stay tuned in and turned on. Intimacy is important, and especially with parents, you tend to become really good parallel partners, but everybody's just too tired to keep the intimacy alive. So that was a lot of fun. And then in 2014, I became highly focused on helping founders as a startup coach. And I did that until the 2023, when I decided to just focus completely on podcasting. And I have been part of major accelerators. I've been a global mentor for 8 years and interviewed 250 diverse founders and investors from around the world. I had a monthly pitch event here in Boston for 3 years. Very exciting being part of the startup ecosystem. But now, today, I'm the host of Don't Be Caged by Your Age. And let me tell you, as a 67-year-old woman, baby boomer 1956, woo woo, it is wonderful to be able to age out loud and be able to be proud that I'm here and I'm still using all the parts and pieces God gave me to thrive after 65.
There you go. I have a friend who just turned 70 last fall, and I turned 70 this summer. And we were both going like, "We can't wait till we turn 70." And another friend said, "Like, what are you talking about?" And I'm going like, "Seriously? Like, we're still climbing mountains. We're still busy doing stuff, you know." And I love talking to my guests on the podcast. And it's just like, this is just the best time of life. I think it's just fabulous.
It really is. And those, listeners tuning in, you have got to know we have been indoctrinated to think this time period is to, okay, just relax. You go over there in the corner as you heard me say, pastures are for horses, not humans. We've been encouraged through different types of reasons, right? Corporate, political, whatever. We're now senior citizens and we're supposed to look and act a certain way, but we're boomers. We're used to blowing up ideals and ideas, right?
Okay, there's a whole nother topic that I'm not going to go there because it gets political, but that's okay. Okay, we've jumped in already. Ageism. What's your definition? And like, just
Oh my gosh. Just because the clock strikes midnight, right? An age doesn't mean you have to say goodbye to dreams and passions and purpose, right? Ambition is ageless. Now, I know a lot of folks have been planning on, quote, retiring for decades. This is what I'm going to do when I retire. This is what I'm how I'm going to be when I retire. But then they get very apprehensive. And then all of a sudden retirement day comes, and then one hand they're very excited, and the other hand they're, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And what happens is nobody's planned what they're going to do. They may have financially planned, but they didn't plan to how am I going to feel fulfilled during this time period. And if you've made it to 65 into the retirement years, there's a good chance you're going to live another 20 plus years. So ageism, there's three types of ageism, right? There's the corporate ageism, which is the we're not going to hire you because you're over 55, 58, 60. I'm hearing horrible stories about that.
Well, and I think too, even if you're already within the company,
Oh
like
yeah.
you've got a few wrinkles, you've maybe got some gray hair. It's just like, well, let's just ease them back and we'll let the smart young folk, come up.
Absolutely. And you'll see corporations perpetuating ageism through its actions, through its policies, and really in their view, the lens with which they look at their employees, which is your permafrost. I don't need to train you anymore. I don't need to see what lights you up. How do you want to improve? What new skills do you want to learn? No, you're just going to slide right out of here, and we're going to replace you with someone younger. And then there's the societal ageism, right? And that's what we see in the movies, in the stores, in the brands, the oh my God, you're not aging, are oh no. And there's this wonderful woman who's written a book called Help, I Can't Stop Aging. And it's all you go around, and the message you get all the time is you better be feeling badly about yourself because you're old. And they're like, wait a minute, what happened, right? And then there's the internalized ageist beliefs, Agnes, that we've taken on that we may not even know we have, which is, oh, I'm too old. I can't do that. No, I can't do that because fill in the blank. And we tend to look at ourselves and limit ourselves and not understand there's no expiration date on dreams, on anything you want to pursue. If you want to go after something and you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, even 90s, you can do it. It's just sometimes the messaging we give ourselves is no, I need to be quiet now.
Well, I must admit, I do have a saying that I say, I'm getting too old for my life. But that's only when, like, I'm climbing that mountain and the knees give out or something like that. You go to try to lift the grandchild, and it's like, oh man, like,
Oh,
when
my
did you become
back.
60 pounds?
Oh, it's tough, and it's really one of the last of the socially acceptable prejudices, right,
Absolutely.
Agnes, that you can, look at people and make a decision based on them. And we see it in the movies as well. There was something recently out with Sissy Spacek and another well-known male actor, and they were supposed to be in their early 60s. And I said, wait a minute. I don't know anybody who is that aged in the early 60s. You're just reinforcing the societal ageism that's out there. And here's something I learned when I was pulling together, doing the research for the show, Don't Be Caged by Your Age. And that is the World Health Organization has declared that retirement is costing societies billions of dollars. It's leading to poor physical and mental health, reduced quality of life for older persons, and ageist attitudes just keep people down and out and invisible. And that doesn't feel good. We already have a loneliness challenge in many of the countries worldwide. We don't need to add to it with our older population.
Interestingly, that comes up later in my notes, but let's go there now. Of the billions, I think it was that you said, isn't it billions of dollars?
Yeah.
And I was trying to think, like, how? But obviously, yes, because if you tell me long enough that I'm old and decrepit, or past my best before date, as my mother used to say, then yeah, it's It's all downhill from here, baby, apparently.
Well, think about it. How many people, again, as I was saying earlier, many people get so excited about retirement. I don't have to go to the grind every day. I don't have to go to the office every day. I can live off my pension, Social Security. And maybe they did well in saving money for retirement, which is wonderful. But still, humans need a reason to get out of bed. We are designed to need purpose in our lives. And with all the planning financially, we have often forgotten to plan about who we want to be in this day, this stage and age, right? And it can get really tough. All of a sudden, those connections you'd have, even if you were arguing with them, they were at the office or where you worked, right? The establishment that you were at. It could be at the grocery store that you worked or a cafe. Wherever you worked, there were people you were connecting with. You were seen, you were heard, you were visible. And you had collaborations, connections, conversations, all of those things. And now you're sitting at home. You maybe have played golf or gone fishing to your heart's content, but after 3 months, you're realizing you need more. How do you repurpose those lived experiences, those decades of where you have gained knowledge? And I don't care if you were serving food in the cafeteria at an elementary school. You were learning skills that matter and can be repurposed somewhere else in life. And that's really the purpose of the podcast, is to provide examples and resources and ways to find out, well, what drives me now? Because what drove you and inspired you 30, 40 years ago, even 10 years ago, has changed. So what do you want? And helping people understand it's okay to pull on threads and just go, oh, maybe I'd like landscaping. Then you start doing, you're like, oh, hell no, I can't do this. Or yeah, things like that. You pull on threads, it's okay, experiment. This is, like in the lab, a science experiment to figure out what you want to do. There's this great book called Don't Retire, Rewire. It's filled with exercises that you can do to help you understand, oh, yeah, that kind of lights me up. Oh, I could do that. There are so many different things and ways you can stay involved. And there are conversations you can have if you're currently employed with your employer, with your managers, with the leaders internally, to help them understand why you are valuable and that you are still at the top of your game and you still want to add value and you are still ambitious.
I have great theories around the workplace, and when I rule the world, you're going to be VP.
Thank you. Thank
I'm just going to stick with the ageism bit for a moment. I recently heard a local, well-respected talk radio host voicing surprise at the voice of a 100-year-old that his colleague was interviewing. And seriously, like, oh, doesn't she sound great? But can you believe she's 100? And I'm going like, first of all, what's a 100-year-old supposed to sound like? But the woman in question had been a singer all her life, so it really stood to reason to me that she would have a very strong voice, and I just went, holy moly, like, how many thousands of people are listening to you right now, and you have just reinforced everything that they think.
Well, think about how often you hear, oh my gosh, you look good for your age. Folks, that's ageism right there. Why is it ageism? That means somebody else isn't looking good for their age. And that means you're also supposed to not look so good for your age. The right thing to say is, you look great.
Period.
Period. End of story.
And I've got a friend who's a cyclist, and he will occasionally say that, like, 70's the new 50. And I get right on his case and I said, no, this is what 70 looks like. Like, just let people get used to it, because whatever they've learned in the past is all wrong today. So.
Yeah, there's radical self-love that you do need to embrace even more as you age, along with an abundance of patience, because hey, the body is aging too. So sometimes you look down and you go, what the heck? And you see your skin is getting all crepey and all of these things are happening, and you give yourself a big hug and you are still beautiful, you are still worthy, you are still important, and you are still valuable to the world. even though your body is feeling like, oh my gosh, where's the ibuprofen? I'll take another round of the anti-inflammatory, please.
Well, and woman to woman, I do have a line about going from a 36B to a 38 long.
Well, I just, ageism, and I just want to increase awareness. Andie MacDowell, who's a well-known actress, she was interviewed, and she's in her 60s. She was being interviewed by an Italian journalist who said, "Well, how does it feel to have lost your beauty?" And so first Andie MacDowell's like, "Say what? Did she like, was there something lost in translation here?" And she said, "I didn't lose my beauty. I mean, physically things have changed, but my beauty comes always from within. It comes out through my eyes. It's in my heart." And that's so important to remember, is just because there's silver gray hair or wrinkles and barnacles, as I like to say, are all over my face, your beauty is still there, because your beauty is your presence, it's your glow. And yes, of course, that 21-year-old beauty or 30-year-old beauty is one thing, but we have society and the brands are all anti-aging. There's something wrong with you if you're aging. And so we really need to start dissolving that.
I had a career in elder care, and I just loved, like, on the photo days, because they'd be sitting there going like, "Oh, I look awful." And I'm going like, "Are you serious?" Like, that beautiful face tells a story. With all due respect to the very, very young people who may or may not be listening, at 21, your face doesn't tell a story. By the time you're 81, there are beautiful stories written in each and every line and in the crackles of a smile and the wrinkles at the side of the eyes. Yeah.
Well, who doesn't love the famous singer Brandi Carlile's song, The Story? All of these lines across my face tell you the story of who I am, tell you the story of where I've been and how I've gotten back to where I am. Yeah, it's just so powerful. And I really feel that's where we are.
Absolutely. I do want to look at the other side of ageism, insofar as many people of our generation don't want to learn from younger people or be supervised by younger people. It's sort of the other side of ageism, but still ageism.
And this makes me very sad. Intergenerational connections are so important. And I'll give you some examples, Agnes, because I was in the startup ecosystem for quite some time, and my biggest fans were under 35. They could not get enough of me. "Andie, you're the most exciting person in the room." I said, "I could be your grandmother. I don't care. I want to sit beside you. I want to learn from you." It was wonderful. Especially in the Gen Zs, they really are not anti-age. They really love their elders and they want to learn from them. It's hard for us because we were raised in a different institutional environment with our elders that put like a brushstroke of shame around having to learn from someone younger. You want to learn from someone younger. First of all, that's what makes aging even better. It keeps the elasticity, neuroplasticity in your brain working. And it may feel awkward, perhaps, that someone young is learning, but that reciprocity will happen immediately. They may teach you some new tech, they may teach you some new marketing techniques, but you are the one with the wisdom of how to connect and communicate. I mean, boomers and Gen Xers are brilliant at relationship building because we weren't raised with texting. We had to pick up a phone and call people. We had to write letters and often type them before we even had PCs that we could use. Okay. So we've been used to going up to perfect strangers and saying howdy and starting conversations and building relationships. So we bring that knowledge to the plate. And anyone who's listening who thinks they are too old to learn technology, you are wrong. You need to get rid of that limitation. Technology, give me a break. If you can cook, you can do tech. I mean, it really is not that hard. You can text, you can do tech. There are so many great courses you can take, things you can learn. You need to open your mind. It's kind of like women saying, "Oh, I don't do Finance or money. Oh, that's a load of blarney. You go into a store and you see that something's 25% off. You know exactly what you're saving on that outfit or those shoes. So you know numbers and you love numbers. Same thing. You can love tech and be open. But remember, you're also bringing your wonderful wisdom to the younger generation, to your younger boss. On episode 4, I had Carrie Hannon on the show, and she had been on her own for 20 years with her own business, talking about the workforce, and she's, talks about the future of work, et cetera. When Yahoo Finance tapped her on the shoulder and said, "We want you to come work for us." And she's like, "Well, wait a minute. I haven't worked for anybody for 20 years." And she's in her early 60s. They said, "No, we really want you." And her boss, the person she would be reporting to, was a good 20 plus years younger than her, maybe even 30. And she's having a blast. She's having a time of her life because she's learning from the younger boss, the younger manager, and the younger manager is definitely learning from her. And that reciprocity feels so good. The other thing I want to put out there too, because on episode 8, we talked to Sandra Allison. And this is such a great story. Sandra had a stunning career, but at the age of 58, her company downsized, and of course, 58, boom, she was out the door. What's that? Last one in, first one out, right? LIFO. But she could not get hired. And she spent 2 years and she said, "Okay, I have to solve this problem." She went and got educated, got certificates in how to write resumes. And she figured out how to beat the system for ageism with a resume to make sure that those scanning systems that look at your resume now, because you know a real person does not look at your resume. I don't care who is handing your resume. You could hand it to the head of the board. The board HR is still going to scan it through their system and check the algorithms and the keywords and things like that. So she now helps people with their resumes so they don't get kicked out for ageism. They might get kicked out for something else, but they're not going to get kicked out because they're over a certain age. And I found, and her business is booming. She's 71. She can't keep up with anything. She's blind in one eye. She's got all these things going on physically, but she's hiring people and it's still going crazy and strong. So I find stories like that really hopeful, Agnes.
Well, you talk about learning tech, and I was the same. It's like, oh my God. But then I got into it and I went like, oh my God, I love this. Now, I loved it. And I am still the person who took a fully developed, I don't know, 3-year-old website and deleted the whole thing. Don't ask me how. It's like, think twice before you hit that button. But I did.
You learn from your mistakes,
I
right?
called a friend and she got it all back for me because I
Of
did do
course.
backups. And, but, so A, first of all, now I do have a funny story, but I also have gone on and I am creating websites. I'm on, well, we got podcasts, we're online a lot. And even if you find out that you hate it and you're not good at it, you will have a few funny stories.
You'll have some funny stories. And speaking of podcasting, Agnes, listeners, if you would like to do this type of way of connecting, having conversations with people, building your credibility, especially if you're switching industries, podcasting is a brilliant way to build your credibility. And we call it, the online algorithms. It's called EEAT for SEO, the SEO search engine optimization. It's your expertise, your experience, your authority, and your trustworthiness. Those are key things that search engines look for. And if you've been, let's say, the finance industry, now you're moved into the baking industry, or you've gone into photography or technology, and you're a coder, you need to build a whole new reputation. And podcasting is so easy and so affordable. Your biggest purchase is going to be your mic for about $60 US. After that, your monthly fees, you can do this for under $100 a month. And you think about that as an investment. Not only that, people will say, "Yeah, I'd love to be on your show." You could be trying to reach anybody out there on a regular, in a regular networking way, and they ghost you. But if you say, oh, I'd love to have you on my podcast, boom. If they don't get back to you, their PR people will and say, absolutely. So, and you learn a lot by having a show, right, Agnes? I
Oh,
mean, you've been at this 200, well, how many episodes are you up to now?
230 some odd.
Yeah, that's so great. And why did you start podcasting?
Well, mine's actually a strange story insofar as I had a friend slash colleague, and we ended up in different cities, and she was struggling with a whole bunch of stuff in her life, and she phoned me one day and said, will you phone me twice a week? I just need your energy in the morning to get me going. That turned into 5 mornings a week for an hour at a shot. She had been an investigative reporter. She was well traveled. She was smart. She just had an opinion about everything. The conversation would not stop. And finally, one day I said, this is ridiculous. We have got to start a podcast because maybe somebody would like to pour a cup of coffee and listen in, just eavesdrop on the conversation. So that's what we decided to do. And we launched in March 2020.
Oh my gosh, Agnes,
So
thank
it's,
you.
well, no, but no, what happened is she had a mother in care. So suddenly our conversations became all about COVID and her mother and care facilities and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, no, this is not what I thought this would be. And then after a few months, she just couldn't do it anymore, anyways, because she was just so distraught about her mother and the care facilities and stuff like that. So I, by this time, I'm like, I'm in, I'm all over this. So I just started up by myself and said, I changed it from Two Boomer Woman to the Boomer Women's Podcast.
And you are ideal for this.
I love it. Yeah.
And listeners, you hear how conversational Agnes is and delicious and delightful. But if you're thinking about doing this too, you can have it be however you are, because Agnes will attract her audience and you will attract yours. And one of my favorite quotes is by Seth Godin, the marketing genius of all times. He said, sure, it's been done before, but not by you and not for us. So anything you do, whether you want to start a little flower shop or you want to go bigger and start a tech business, whatever you want to do, yes, it's been done before, but not by you and not for us. And just walk down the bread aisle. You can see there's always room for another lane.
Well, and I'm not going to give away too much here because obviously that would just not be wise. But I have some thoughts about things that nobody wants to listen to. So I actually have a totally anonymous online persona.
Nice.
And so just for those people who are thinking, like I want to do something, it you don't have to put your face and name all over it. I have an avatar. I adjust my voice so it doesn't sound like me. It's it and
Nicely
it's
done,
so much
Agnes.
fun. It is so much fun.
Well, and what I learned, episode 8 again with Sandra Allison, I had to check my bias and I had a little ageist moment myself. She told me, she goes, well, I'm a gamer. And I was thinking, bingo, Bridge, what do you mean? And she goes, no, I've been gaming before we had PCs, when we had to use punched cards with mainframes to shoot our zombies. I shoot zombies for leisure. And I went, oh my gosh, I'm having a don't be caged by your age moment. And she said, speaking, you were talking about elder care, she said, they're going to have to up their Wi-Fi in the elder care and assisted living now because it's a wonderful way to communicate because when you are gaming, you are with a group of people working toward a goal. Okay, it's not this, there's a mythology out there that shows the gamer hiding in and never talking to anybody. No. You're working with people solving problems as a gamer, and it's great. You learn new skills all the time, and you have a blast talking to so many fun people. And you have an avatar, and hers is called Elder Goddess.
There you go. Yeah, and any woman that wants to be a goddess, as far as I'm concerned, it's like I'm all for it.
But that, having an avatar, having a nom de plume, whatever that
Nom de plume, yeah.
French, but you can do it on Substack. And folks, if you don't know about Substack, it's a wonderful platform where you can share your written word, your visual. You can have videos, you can have audio podcasts. It's a phenomenal platform where people can actually sponsor you if they want. It's free for everybody, but they put a little thing, hey, pledge to this account. Someone can send you $8 a month, or they can do a year. It's really cool. And people who love you and adore you can add some financial wind to your sales.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go back to the topic at hand.
We're all going to be stealth now, stalking to see, could that be Agnes? No, maybe that's Agnes.
You voice an interesting stat that 7 in 10 pre-res, oh, sorry, pre-res is a word I developed a long time ago, pre-retirement people want to work after they give up the 9-to-5. Now, we often avoid the word retirement, but to be pre-retirement, there must be a retirement somewhere in our future. And I'm actually okay with the word because we all did what we needed to do during our responsibility years. So the spouse, the kids, the house, the mortgage, whatever. Maybe it was a job, maybe it was a career, maybe we liked it, maybe we didn't. But now we can retire from that to the potential of something new or productive, invigorating, and embrace the possibilities. What's your take on the word retirement? What do you know about that statistic, 7 in 10?
Well, you know, something I found out during the research, there's an episode 1 with Victoria Tomlinson, which is how ageism is wasting an entire generation of talent.
Yeah.
And we talked about how there's a level of apprehension as people who are 55, 60, and they're feeling pretty good. They're feeling at the top of their game. And they're thinking, retirement? Like, what does that mean? What's going to happen to me when I do this, right? And so, unfortunately, the word retirement is actually, in some cases, morally wrong. It's not right to tell people, see you, bye. You know, it impedes opportunity, retirement, for older workers and for those who are seeking work. And it certainly can exasperate financial insecurity for a population that wishes and needs to remain engaged. And let's face it, the stats for boomers having saved for retirement, forget it. It runs from anywhere from 88,000 in savings to 160 on average. Yeah, that's not enough to live on if you're going to age for another 20 years. And you know, the health risks for older adults are huge because all of a sudden, you know, psychologically, they're feeling the isolation. So retirement, it really needs to be unretirement, or as we like to talk with Jerry Sedler's book, Don't Retire, Rewire, your rewirement. You know, the opportunity to, you know, I would say retirement is an opportunity to explore who you may want to be as you age. What does that look like? And yeah, you have to do the work. You have to do the inner work, but you have to, you know, find what, you know, what fuels your passion. You have to take the time to see, well, what's in alignment with my nature, my personality. And also, if you think about the word retire, it means go away from something, whereas rewire means going toward. So you want to have a new perception of retirement as not an end, but a new undefined adventure, right? Filled with opportunities. And of course, that's my optimistic nature talking right there. But you know, we need to continue to look inside to say, well, what is going to be our new purpose? What's going to be our new play? What's going to be our new hours? So when I had Don Finn on the show, he's making more money than he ever has at 67 and working less. So all of a sudden we say, okay, we don't may not want to be part of that hamster wheel. So what does that, can I work only 30 hours a week and still contribute? Well, you know, you can put in a full day in 25 to 30 hours and be on your way. And with the opportunity to work from home nowadays, there's so many ways to negotiate with employers, because I can tell you from what I'm seeing in the numbers out there, employers are going to be begging boomers to go back to work. There's just not enough talented people in the labor pool right now. So retirement, it just has to be reframed. And we have to reframe those stories we tell ourselves about aging. And retirement, I don't know. This is what I'm working on through Don't Be Caged by Your Age, trying to find ways to redefine this time period so that we don't think of it as, oh, it's time to play golf all day and have cocktails at night, or it's time to go play with grandkids and do all the cooking and the baking, or it's time to spend time in my garden all day. That is fine for the weekend, maybe a month, right? But it can't last. So I'm really working with my listeners and my guests to just find a way to say, okay, you're not going to retire. You're going to rewire. You're going to do something else. What are we calling it? I don't know.
I put a lot of thought into this.
Oh, and good.
The word that I'm using on a personal level is renewment.
I love that.
But a friend of mine a few years ago gave me an analogy that I thought was beautiful. We both rode motorcycles. I had a fun car. We both have the family vehicle. And he said, you know, every time we want to do something different, if we go off-roading, if we go dirt biking, if you want to get on the racetrack, if you're just driving on the street, snow comes, you put a new set of tires on. So whatever the situation at hand is, you retire. And I just love that.
I'm going to get out my clappers, everybody. That is outstanding. Same with your bikes, right? Bicycles, yeah. You have to retire all the time.
Yeah, well, ours were motorcycles, but yes, even then, you know.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
And I just thought, absolutely.
And
he'd given up his 9-to-5.
Right. Right. And I think that's a lot of what it's about. It's giving up the quote 9-to-5, where you're stuck in this hamster wheel where you don't have a lot of control. So I think there's ways to renegotiate and find ways to move in and out of, if you want to stay in corporate, wonderful. And every conversation I have with my guest, Agnes, this is what we're exploring. Because we had an idea in our 20s, 30s, and 40s, and 50s, what retirement was going to look like, right? And I always ask my guests, what was it looking like back then? And how are you looking at it now? And then finding people who have figured out how they have renewed their life, their lived experiences, and how I know some people aren't fond of reinvention, but I think it's just a way of repurposing. We've got all this great lived experience. How are we going to repurpose it and still feel good about ourselves? And frankly, Agnes, we as a population of older adults, we are faced every day with big challenges. We see dear friends who are dying or die. We are faced with our mortality every single day because we don't know what our expiration date is, but boy, are we a lot closer to it. Yeah. And you have to come to terms with that. We're faced with challenges that are physical that need to be addressed and have surgery or do things, or just your eyes aren't working, ears aren't working, all these things. It's hard. I want to do an episode on hearing aids because look at that, right? I mean, you can feel like a total loser if you have a hearing aid instead of like, yeah.
Oh, and talk about isolation.
Right?
If you can't hear what's going on, you can't be a part of it.
And let me tell you, that live rock music may have been worth it. But now we have great tools out there. So, I think we need to be revered, like the indigenous people, talk about their elders with such awe and wonder. And retirement is not a word in many other countries and cultures, just not a word, not a thing. And so it really is something that was brought together in a capitalist and industrial revolutions. And also politically, at least here in the U.S., senior citizens was not a thing until politically they needed to put us into a category. So we can talk about that population that votes. And so that's where we got there. And I'm always looking for different words for being old that don't feel belittling or marginalizing, right? I mean, I love nothing more than to go to a recycled clothing store, right? Where you go in, upcycle clothing, gently used, whatever, or vintage. Oh, give me a good Jackie O type of outfit. I'm all over that. Or a Twiggy, right, from the 60s. Come on. So I'm wondering, what other names are you gently used previously? Vintage. I don't know what that's going to be, but I'm constantly thinking about that and asking that question as I explore this myself. And listeners, I want you to know that I didn't tell anybody my age until I turned 66 and I came out and I did a big post on LinkedIn. I had the Route US 66 sign in my hand with a photo because in the startup ecosystem, they would say things like, okay, pitch your business as if you were explaining it to your grandmother. And I jump up and go, no, because I could be your grandmother and I know more than you. Try again. Yeah, constantly. And also, we were indoctrinated to never ask a woman her age. And so I always start every podcast asking my guest, how old are you? So that we can get that right out there. And so we can age out loud and be proud because what a gift it is to still be alive, to be here and trying to find ways to enjoy it. I mean, we may have to be walking with pain. We may have to have all these other side effects, eyesight challenges, hearing, whatever, serious diseases that we might be living with every day, but we're here and we can still contribute and we are still valuable and worthy to the world.
I must admit that is one of the great joys of my podcast career is interviewing young people who have something to teach us or a product, like whatever it is, because they're not going to say anything derisive about a boomer aged person when they're on my podcast. So they always say, oh, the wisdom that comes with age. And they wax poetic. And it's just like they wax poetic, but it's like, yeah. You're not joking. You are right.
Exactly. And we need more of those intergenerational experiences. It's so important. And I love that you bring people on from other age and generations and chat with them and how we can learn from them. That's so wonderful.
Now, you touched on this briefly, that media has created this image of the beautiful retirement. Golf, grandparenting, gardening. A lot of cheese in there, isn't there? I can't imagine filling my life with any of those for the next 30 years. I love my grandkids to bits, but as they get older, they get busier too, so they don't have as much time for me, so that's one thing to look at. But I spent enough time as a single parent to know that I also need adult conversation. Do we need to create a reality course for marketers who are looking to sell to us 60 plusers?
Oh, absolutely. And there's a wonderful platform called ageism, excuse me. Ageism is never in style.
No, okay.
And that's what they do all the time. They're constantly educating the brands. Knock it off. Here's what you need to do. And it's amazing. And also for the whole, there's the whole silver movement, right? Where, hey, you don't need to dye your hair. If you're loving silver, or you need to learn how to love silver and stop that hamster wheel of having to dye your hair all the time. Embrace the gray, embrace the silver. Brands, absolutely. Gosh, there's this one ad out right now, and it's with this favorite comedian that we have here in the States, who I love and adore, and her name is escaping me right now, but she might be in her 30s, maybe late 30s, right? And this young man says, oh, yes, ma'am. And she's like, what? You called me ma'am? That means you think I'm old. And here we go again. It's bad to be old. It's bad to be called ma'am because then you're referring to old and I'm not old. No. Let's turn that all around. He was saying ma'am out of respect and honoring you. And he didn't know your name. So, ma'am. Brands and the anti-aging is really starting to get some pushback big time. And they're having to learn what ageism is. And now there's a scorecard of brands who are marketing with pro-aging and age-positive language.
That's interesting. I follow a fellow, I'm on his email list called Brian Clark, and he has longevity gains. and a couple of other different things on the go. And I haven't been able to keep up completely, but they're all saved to a file in my email because actually, I think this Friday it's on my calendar to sit down and follow through just because it's about time people started addressing this, that we are not old people. We're not doddering.
Right.
We may not ever need a walking assist like a cane or something. We may be in a
Well,
wheelchair tomorrow. Like it's just the whole gamut, as in
right.
any other age group.
Exactly. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of white males in their late 50s, early 60s who are screaming on LinkedIn because they're not able to get work. So, of course, we're going to see change. Women have been talking about it. People of color can be talking about it for a long time, but you know that. That the white males are going to start going, oh no, we'll see more change. But it's really discouraging, especially after you've had a great career and you still need the money. You've got kids in college, to just get kicked out like that. I worry about the longevity movement only because every movement has its mythologies, right? And I'm the first to promote, the guy who's roller skating at 95 or playing tennis, the woman's playing tennis, or I shared a woman who was 89 and she was rock climbing. Those are great, potential and possibilities if that's you and that's your body at that age. That sure as heck is not going to be me. But I don't want to put anybody into that category of like, oh, wait, I'm not worthy because I'm not achieving at that level. Diet, exercise, learning new things, they're all important, but you can find that middle ground for yourself. You don't have to go to the extreme. And I just don't want to put anybody, into belittling or marginalized groups because they're not enough. We do know, though, if you've watched the Blue Planet or Blue Zone on Netflix, that there are zones where people just naturally live long. But have they really studied? Is it really the food or is it just their DNA? I come from a DNA pool. They live to 100. And so I think between modern medicine and your DNA, that may have, the thumbprint of what longevity looks like for you. It's fascinating. It's an interesting topic. And, we have to do what feels right for us that we can handle and manage without enough shaming and blaming ourselves. Do you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
oh, absolutely. Yeah. I have a expression that I use that I'm going to live forever, and so far, so good. So, I don't want to get into the sexist thing, but are women more affected by
Oh,
ageism
yeah.
than
Oh,
men?
my gosh. Like for decades, you're dealing with sexism in the workplace, and then you get slapped in the face with ageism. It's like, wait, come on, enough already. Absolutely. And especially with the mantle of menopause, because now how can we trust her? One minute she's homicidal, the next minute she's suicidal, all the things. And that's just wrong. But it happens. And what do you, policies will help change. More women leaders will help change in organizations. But we women can also continue the ageism right up there with anybody else. So we need to, as a group, men, women, everybody, come together and just even the playing field again and understand and reframe how we look at the aged employee, aged person, because getting old is a gift. And there's so much, I mean, we see it right now in our president right here in the US, just some of the things he's been able to do and make happen because of his lived experience, because of the wisdom of the years, because of him being involved in politics his whole life, things that nobody else would have been able to do. So there are folks out there as well who can bring that to the plate. But the women, we always get hit hard. What can I say? We've only been emancipated a very short period of time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, here in the US, a woman could not buy a home on her signature alone until after what, 1972, 74? She couldn't get a credit card in her own name until after 76. So, hello, we have not been free for that long.
Well, and you mentioned the age of your president. you must see it, where something comes up in the world and people are going like, blah, it's the worst thing that's ever happened. And it's like, well, no, actually it happened, like in the mid 70s, it happened in the early 60s. It's like
No,
it's that let
I live.
longevity that gives
Yeah.
you the wisdom to know that you will survive it. We have to figure it
But
out. We have to,
here's
yeah.
the other thing. I live with our 26-year-old son. He's a game design guy, building a game, his third game, and he lives with us. And let me tell you, he forgets why he walks into a room. He'll stumble on a sentence. He can't remember something. All the things that you and I will go, oh my God, this is it. Dementia's hitting. Oh my God. It's wonderful and refreshing to see that. And that's what's great about the intergenerational. You'll see them forget a word, all the things that you think are unique to you because you're over 60, they're all doing. And you did it too in your 20s and 30s, right? You can stumble over words, you can forget where you are, why you were, what you were doing.
Well, I mean, we laugh about it, but I've made that point to a number of people that young people will forget a word. They'll forget something. They'll walk in the room and go like, or where are my damn keys? Like something like that. And they just sort of tap themselves on the head and retrace their steps.
Right.
We do that at this age. And all we can think about is, oh my God, is this the onset of dementia?
Right. This is it.
And yeah, and so we really have to get back to that earlier stage of, well, damn, where did I put my keys this time?
Right.
So,
And we're distracted.
yeah,
That's it. Or
absolutely.
as I like to say to my kids, listen, I had two lobotomies. Okay. It's a miracle I can still think with you too.
What haven't we talked about that you think mid-age women should think about or
Oh, be
know?
hopeful. You'll hear it again and again. This is such a freeing time. I'm having an artist on. She's 72. She said this is the best time in her life. She's raised kids, she's had prior success in her work and in business. Never has she been happier. So stay hopeful, be willing to do the work. Find out what drives you, what inspires you, and what can fill your pocketbook at the same time. And really think about plan. If you're in your 50s, plan for this time of who you want to be. Not how much money's in the bank, but who do you want to be and what fulfills you. And finally, we're a patchwork quilt. We're going to keep adding, pieces of cloth to our quilt in our later years. And so you might be interested in something for a minute or for quite a few hours, years, right? It's okay. And experiment and be gentle with yourself and know that we're all here trying to do our best and we're all holding hands. You're not alone.
The word that came to mind is the tapestry of our life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agnes.
Okay, so
Oh.
your podcast is.
Don't be caged by your age.
All right, where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
Yes, don't be caged by your age.com on Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, Pinterest, everywhere.
I was going to say, I usually ask my guests if they're on social. My comment for you is you are everywhere on social.
I forgot YouTube too.
Oh,
Oh
you're
my
everywhere.
gosh. Oh yeah, just gonna say to anybody tuning in, please reach out. I'm Andy Lyons, ANDELYONS. I would love to connect. I would love to add wind to your sails. I'd love to hear where you're at.
May I ask you a personal question before we close?
Yes.
Jigsaw puzzles?
Totally jigsaw puzzles. What? I have a Pinterest board on my jigsaw puzzles. You saw it. And I one of my favorite things to do is listen to a really good audiobook. And do jigsaw puzzles. And I'm listening right now to John D. McDonald's Travis McGee series. I highly recommend it. They're written between 1963 and 1988. He has a lot of great social commentary. He is a crisp, clean writer. Oh my gosh. And it's mystery and thriller and all of that. But oh, it's a good series. I'm sure it's where Reacher with Lee Child. Or Bosch, we're all came from. Thank
I
you for
also,
asking about the jigsaw
no, that's
puzzles.
funny. It's hilarious because I did find your Pinterest page. I was going looking for something that's just not on your main profile page. And I'm looking at your puzzles going like, oh man, these are the puzzles that I love. But they're the puzzles that, I mean, I do the outside frame first. That's a good thing. I get maybe 50 to 100 pieces in, and I'm just at that stage where it's like, what am I doing this for? I'm going to take it apart. But of course, I don't. I stick with it. And by 300 pieces, it's just like, yes, I'm going to get this done tonight, and then it's 4 o'clock in the morning and you're still not quite done,
Well,
but
when you're an entrepreneur, there's no instant reward for anything, right? You're better off going into the bathroom with a toothbrush, right? To get a beginning, a middle, and an end and feel good. So that's, jigsaw puzzles are good for that. But I will get some that don't make sense, and I ain't doing that puzzle. I need one that makes sense. So I sometimes have wasted my $15
Oh.
and I pass it along to someone, but you solve the puzzle, you're done. And you're like, okay, I accomplished something, because the accomplishment feeling as an entrepreneur, it does not happen quickly.
I will not send you the one that my daughter gave me 20 years ago that is a circle and it's all varying shades of blue.
Yeah.
There's no picture.
No,
It's
no.
just
It's all about the shape, and who has time for that? It's like Little Red Riding Hood's hood, all red in a circle.
in a
No.
circle, that's right. Okay, your website link is in the show notes. All of the links will be on your page at our website. I may just get you to send me the name of that author that you're loving so we can put a link to that
Yes.
in too.
Yes. I will send that.
Okay, good. Listeners, you recognize anyone in our conversation today? Someone you know? Share your thoughts, experiences. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at the Boomer Woman's podcast at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. Or what topic did Andy and I not discuss? Ask it in the comments and I'll pass it on to Andy. Huge favor, I ask you every week, leave stars and reviews, please. They help us expand our reach. And share this episode. There are so many advantages to embracing these years, and your friends need to do the same. At any age, we can experience ageism. Thanks to media, it's usually more prevalent as we get older. Hopefully, your share doesn't need to be accompanied by an apology. Andy Lyons, thank you so much for being my guest today and just showing us the light in this whole aging process and proving that when two women of a certain age get together, we can have a really good laugh.
Oh my gosh. And Agnes, you are a phenomenal podcast host. It was such an honor to spend time with you. I know it's an overused word, but your authenticity is so delicious. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Thank you. Have a great rest of the week.
You too.